Welcome to NBA Talk with Isaac Wolf. I am your host, Isaac Wolf. Tyler Hero, congratulations to him. He won Sixth Man of the Year, receiving 96 out of a possible 100 first place votes. That was probably the most obvious award that was able to be predicted when the finalists came out anyway. So not really shocking. I mean, he averaged, what was it, 20 points per game off the bench and helped the Heat get the number one seed in the East. And speaking of the East, we've got the Bucks-Celtics series to talk about. In the first game, game one, the Bucks won. I think I mentioned that in the previous episode because I was kind of watching it as I recorded. But the Bucks won. Giannis had a triple-double. The Celtics only scored 89 points. In game two, the Celtics evened the series behind 59 points and 11 threes combined from Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Final score 109-86 in game three. Late in the game, the Celtics were down three. This was very controversial. Marcus Smart goes up to shoot, gets fouled across both arms, and they rule it on the floor. They said it was, you know, the side-to-side swiping motion, the thing that Chris Paul does all the time. But in my opinion, Smart had both of his feet set. And I think he was clearly going into the shooting motion. Like, I didn't think it was even, you know, debatable. But the refs called it like they saw it, and they saw it as a foul on the floor. So instead of three free throws with a chance to tie the game, Smart only had two, which really did the Celtics no good. So he made the first one. And then on the second attempt, he missed intentionally. It was the perfectly executed intentional miss by Smart. He threw it off the backboard. It nicked the front of the rim. I mean, it barely hit it. But Smart himself was able to get it back, throw it up, and then it was tipped like three or four times. The last tip by Al Horford went in the basket after time had expired. And that was the game. 103-101. Milwaukee wins game three on, you know, probably what you could say is the most controversial call of these playoffs so far. Giannis had 42 points for Milwaukee. So far, the size of the Bucks has been problematic for Boston, especially in game one. Giannis and Lopez down low make it really difficult for the Celtics to get any kind of paint production. You know, this is a much different matchup than they had last round with the undersized Brooklyn Nets. So they have to rely on outside shooting, which in game one, they made 18 threes, but they took 50. They only took 34 twos and made just 10 of them. That was the story in game one. The reason they only scored 89 points was the lack of two-point production. Then in game two, they were 20 of 43 from downtown, and it was a 23-point win. Then in game three, just 9 of 33 from outside. But they got to the free throw line a lot more in that game. I think they were like 28. I mean, they made 28 free throws. And I think that's why, you know, it was close, even though they only hit 9 threes. But yes, definitely the story of this series has been the Bucks' interior defense. And, you know, Celtics wins are going to have to rely on what kind of offense they can get. They're really not going to get a lot of paint production. So can they get to the free throw line? Can they draw fouls on the Milwaukee bigs? And can they knock down enough outside shots to, you know, keep up with Milwaukee? Grizzlies-Warriors. This is a fun series. Game one, the Grizzlies set the tone early, knocking down shots, playing good defense, led by 10 after the first quarter. Then Draymond Green got ejected in the second quarter. This was another controversial call. Brandon Clark, I think he pump faked. Green went up, and when Green was coming down and Clark was going up, Green, first of all, smacked him across the face, which I don't think was intentional because the ball was kind of where Green was aiming and the ball was near his face. So Green swiped at his face and then grabbed his jersey and dragged him down. It was really, he tried to cover it up by trying to look like he was, you know, trying to soften the impact of the fall by holding on to him even longer. But the officials saw it as enough to give him a flagrant two and throw him out immediately. So that was a huge loss in the first half for Golden State, who trailed by six at halftime. Jaren Jackson Jr. got hot in the third quarter. 14 points, four threes without Draymond Green guarding him. And then near the end of the game, Klay hits a huge three to put Golden State up one with 36 seconds left. Morant gets blocked by Curry on the following possession. I was utterly shocked that Steph Curry made that important of a defensive play late in the game. And then Klay Thompson gets fouled, but he misses both free throws. Klay Thompson missed both free throws. And that was just utterly shocking. But Ja once again can't convert a layup at the buzzer, similar, you know, to the one he made against Minnesota in the first round for the win. But the Warriors held on to win this game 117-116 despite 33 points, 9 rebounds, and 10 assists from Ja, and then 33 points and 10 rebounds from Jaren Jackson Jr. They are the second duo aged 22 or younger to score 30 in the same playoff game, which Russ and KD did it three times in Oklahoma City. For Golden State, Jordan Poole back to the bench, but still had a career game, 31 points, 8 rebounds, 9 assists. Curry had 24, Klay 15, Warriors steal game one on the road. Game two, another ejection. This one really early, like first quarter, I think 2 or 3 minutes in. Dylan Brooks sent Gary Payton to the hospital. When you put it that way, it does sound bad. But yes, Gary Payton II fractured his elbow because he was on a fast break. He went up for a layup and Brooks tried to block it and just, you know, smacked him. I mean, just got nothing but his head. And Payton fell awkwardly. All of his impact went on his left arm, which, you know, he kind of landed with his hand on the ground and his arm was straight and it just looked really bad. He's out for the rest of the series. He's got a fractured elbow. Dylan Brooks gets a flagrant two. He's out. And that's a big loss for Memphis on, you know, both ends, really, because he can knock down six threes in a game if he wants to. And he's a great on-ball defender. And he brings a lot of energy as well. Draymond got cut on the head, got stitches, came back in the game, took an elbow from Xavier Tillman, I think. Ja had 23 points in the first half, and Memphis was up 5 after the first 24 minutes of play. And then Morant matched that production in the second half, adding 24 to make his total for the game 47, joining Kobe and LeBron as the only players in NBA history with multiple 45-point playoff games before age 23. And, you know, he just made plays that won the game late, scored 15 points in clutch time himself, which is, I believe, the last 5 minutes when the, you know, score differential is 5 or less. And the Warriors as a team in that time period scored 12. So, Grizzlies win 106. I think the final score was 106-101 and even up the series. In game three, Memphis without Dylan Brooks, who was suspended because of his hit on Gary Payton that fractured his elbow. It didn't look like it mattered, though, early on. The Grizzlies started 6 of 7 from 3 for their first 18 points of the game. Their first 18 points were on 6 threes. And that has only been done 3 times in the last 25 years. The Warriors, you know, if you watch this game, the way it went early, you would not think that it was the other team that was going to end up shooting, you know, a red hot percentage. But the Warriors ended up blowing the Grizzlies out 142-112. A lot of these games in the playoffs so far have been like low scoring. They've been like 90s. Some teams have been in the 80s and mostly low hundreds. We're not seeing the 110s much or the 120s, but the Warriors went to 142. They shot 63% for the entire game. That is unreal. 53 of 84 from the field, 63%. 53% from three, 17 of 32. I don't care who you are, you're never going to win a game when the opponent shoots that well. And then on the Grizzlies side, I mean, there's concern because Ja Morant left the game in the fourth quarter with a tweaked knee. We don't know the severity of this injury yet, but Ja looked to be in considerable pain. He went into the locker room midway through the fourth quarter. Jordan Poole grabbed his knee and forced it into an awkward movement. I think he was trying to swipe at the ball to steal it, I think. But it was a really weird play. Something to keep an eye on definitely for Memphis. However, all season, though, they have stepped up and frankly played better without Ja. Does that continue in the playoffs against the veteran Warriors on the road in Game 4? I don't think so, but we'll see. And who knows? Maybe he's back and this was all an overreaction. Sixers Heat game one. There was a 19-7 run by the Sixers to end the first half. The score was 51-50, but the second half was owned by the Heat. The Sixers, without Embiid, struggled to rebound. The Heat had so many second chance points. James Harden, 16 points, just 4 in the second half. It was a sorry performance. There was hope in the first half that looked like he could get back to his old self, but the second half was just a dud. He wasn't aggressive enough. He let PJ Tucker take him out of the game with absolutely no effort. Tucker face guarded him and Harden just stood there. He didn't try to get the ball. He let Maxey and Harris do their thing. He just wasn't aggressive. And the Sixers can't win if James Harden isn't even involved on offensive possession, which is what happened for the majority of the second half. It was a very disappointing effort from him. For the Heat, Tyler Hero scored 25 off the bench. Bam Adebayo put up 24. Their defense and effort on the glass was the difference, as the Sixers only mustered 92 points without their MVP candidate. In game two, the teams went back and forth in the first, but after that, the Heat controlled the game once again. Never lost the lead after taking it with 5 minutes left in the first quarter. 119-103 the final score. Jimmy Butler, 22 points, 6 rebounds, 12 assists. Bam Adebayo, 23 points. Hero, 18. Oladipo, 19. For the Sixers, Tyrese Maxey had 34 points to lead the way. Harden, just 20. He did not step up like I hoped he would. He does not look like a superstar anymore. Game three, Joel Embiid returning, Kyle Lowry as well returning for the Miami Heat. And his defensive impact, Embiid's defensive impact, has changed the trajectory of this series. I think they needed him really bad. More proof that he's the MVP. He only had 18 and 11, but it was a low-scoring game. The final score was 99-79. The Sixers won. 21 from Danny Green, 21 from Tyrese Maxey, 18 from Embiid, and 17 from Harden. The Heat shot 35% from the field, 23% from three. Coincidence with Joel rejoining the lineup? I don't think so. Obviously, the road had to play, you know, some part in it, but Philly is right back in this series thanks to the return of the masked Joel Embiid. Yes, he's got a mask on since he's got, you know, that facial orbital fracture. Suns Mavs. I believe this is the last series we have to recap. Game one, Luka Doncic put up 45, 12, and 8. But the Mavericks lost. It was not enough. He was the youngest player since Kobe in 2001 to put up 45 and 10 in a playoff game. It was his sixth 40-point playoff game, which is the most at age 23 or younger. All five Suns starters were in double digits for Phoenix. Game two, the second half, you know, was just absolutely dominated by the Suns, specifically Chris Paul and Devin Booker. They combined for 17 points in the first half, but they combined for 41 in the second. I believe they put up 129 points in this game. And the Suns took a seemingly pretty easy 2-0 lead. But then in game three, in Dallas, the Mavericks came to play. Dallas has a great home atmosphere for playoff games. I mean, the fans are just awesome. Jalen Brunson, through the first two games of the series, was averaging 11 points per game. He doubled that this game, and that was huge. I mean, he was the main reason they won that series against the Jazz. They needed him to step up and deliver without Luka Doncic in the first round. And they needed him in this game, too, because Luka can't do everything. I mean, you saw it in game one, 45, 12, and 8. It's not enough. That's a heroic effort, but that's not enough. They need more offense. And Jalen Brunson gave it to him in game three. Meanwhile, for the Suns, their starters did not perform up to par, specifically taking care of the ball. Chris Paul had, I believe, 7 turnovers in this game. Devin Booker did not have, you know, a great game either. So the Mavericks make the series 2-1. And now, game four, which is currently happening right now, a huge development is Chris Paul picked up 4 fouls in the first half and then picked up his 5th with about 9 minutes to go in the third. So Chris Paul is currently on the bench right now with 5 fouls. Dallas is up 72-63 on Phoenix. Make that 75-63 after a Dorian Finney-Smith 3 from the corner. And the Mavericks, I mean, they're on a 7-0 run. They hit 14 threes in the first half, and they are looking really, really good right now. I think they got a really good chance to tie up this series and send it back to Phoenix evened at 2 apiece. My pre-series prediction was Suns in 6, which could still hold up. To wrap up today, this day in NBA history, in 1970, the legendary Willis Reed limped onto the court for Game 7 of the NBA Finals, and the Knicks defeated the Lakers 113-99 for their first NBA championship. Happy birthday to Knicks rookie Quentin Grimes, Pelicans veteran Garrett Temple, Kemba Walker, and Mike D'Antoni. We will be back once the second round is over with more recap.